days of Herod, king of Judea. There was a priest named Zechariah of the priestly division of Abijah. His wife was from the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in the eyes of God, observing all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Once when he was serving as priest in his division's turn before God, according to the practice of the priestly service, he was chosen by law to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. Then, when the whole assembly of the people was praying outside at the hour of the incense offering, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled by what he saw, and fear came upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You shall name him John. You will have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of fathers toward their children, and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to prepare a people fit for the Lord." Then Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? I'm an old man. My wife is advanced in years." The angel said to him in reply, "I am Gabriel, who stand before God. I was sent to speak to you and to announce to you this good news. But now, you will be speechless and unable to talk until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and were amazed that he stayed so long in the sanctuary. When he came out, he was unable to speak to them. They realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He was gesturing to them, but remained mute. Then when his days of ministry were completed, he went home. After this time, his wife Elizabeth conceived. She went into seclusion for 5 months, saying, "So has the Lord done for me at a time when he has seen fit to take away my disgrace before others." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A week ago, for the feast of Our Lady Guadalupe in the Vatican, Pope Francis preached a beautiful homily in Spanish on the mystery that we find throughout the Word of God, but particularly today, between sterility and fecundity. That someone who was barren can become extraordinarily fruitful and not just bear a child, but bear a child who will help all the other children learn to respond to the fruitfulness of a relationship with the Lord. And so today, as we near Christmas, the Church has us ponder primarily the mystery that was occurring in Elizabeth, but foretold, in a sense, by the mystery that had taken place already in the womb of the wife of Manoah. What occurred when Zechariah went to the temple? As I've mentioned before, but it is important for us to grasp how he was prepared and what his attitudes would have been when he had gone into that temple. There were 20,000 priests of the sons of Levi in the Holy Land, broken into 24 divisions. Sister Maria Emanuel can do the math for us, but that's about 800 in a division. You'd serve 2 weeks a year, 1 week at two different time periods. And each of those 7 days, four people would be chosen by lot. One to offer the morning sacrifice, one to offer the evening sacrifice, and one each to offer incense as that sacrifice was being made. So 28 people a week would be chosen, 56 people a year out of 800. Just by total lottery, it would take about 15 years on average for everyone to be chosen. But people could go decades without ever having their name chosen, but they were there nevertheless. And I like to think that Elizabeth had been constantly saying to Zechariah each of those 2 weeks, each year that he would go on up, if finally your number is chosen and you get to go into that temple, please take my prayer that the Lord may remove my shame. That was a constant prayer on Zechariah's lips. It was a constant prayer in Elizabeth's heart and womb. Then all of a sudden he's chosen. He goes in to offer the prayer of incense so that everything might rise up to the Lord. And then the Archangel Gabriel appears to him, which was enough already for him, having brought that petition, to recognize that God had heard. And then the angel Gabriel spoke and confirmed for him that the prayer would be heard, and that Elizabeth would receive a son, and that son would come in the spirit of Elijah. That son would fulfill Malachi and turn the hearts of fathers toward their children and children toward their fathers. There would be intergenerational harmony. All generations would love the Lord. He was going to be the fulfillment of so much that had been predicted to prepare people for God. And Zechariah's response with the thurible in his hand should have been jumping up and down, should have been total praise. But as sterile as Elizabeth's womb was up until this point, so sterile was Zechariah's receptivity. God was intending to do this, but he just couldn't believe it. He had so interiorized his self-pity that he came up with a question of how he was to know what the Lord had been saying, despite his prayer of decades, despite the appearance of the archangel and the words of fulfillment. And I think in one of the most powerful examples of how God's penances are always medicinal, the Archangel Gabriel for God didn't call off the promise because God is faithful, but was going to help Zechariah to prepare to receive well what God wanted to give. So he said, "Now you will be speechless and unable to talk until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their proper time." That in order for us to be able to receive God's grace, we have to receive them in silent faith. So often when the seed is planted, we throw the pearls before swine. We don't let it take root, because the wonder with which it should be received, the gratitude that should envelop it, doesn't have a chance to grow, because we're immediately thinking too much. So we have to be silent. And that 9-month silence on Zechariah's part was just a start of how the whole rest of his life needed to respond to what the Lord wanted with contemplation. But it would be a start in which not only he would revisit tens of thousands of times what had occurred at the rite of the altar of incense, but within a few months, he would have a little girl come from Nazareth to show him how to treasure what the Lord does within a heart. And after observing her and pondering this, when his tongue was eventually loosened, as we will hear on Christmas Eve, he will give the praise that the church prays every morning as we awake the dawn. How do we respond to what the Lord is doing? This great mystery between sterility and fertility is something that's supposed to take place in everybody's spiritual life. There are many times that we think we are barren, where we produce so little when we're so incredibly dry. Those are the circumstances in which God's wonders can really work. Why does the Lord have us pass through the dark night of the senses? Why does he allow those who he loves to go through the terror, in a sense, of the dark night of the spirit, in which somebody feels totally alienated? He does it precisely out of love, so that we're able to enter into this mystery of when we are sterile, that's when God can bring life all by himself, not by our power. It's an incredible mystery, but we need similarly to approach it with contemplative silence, so that we might hear God, who speaks most loudly and powerfully in that silence. Today's old antiphon is very interesting. Don't get me started on translations, but the most important part of this isn't translated at all. It will be for Vespers tonight. O root of Jesse's stem, you know exactly where that comes from, right? Tuesday of the first week of Advent, O Radix Jesse, who stand before the sign, but before God's people as a sign. That's the next verse we would have heard on December 5th this year. For all his people, and before whom, it says, all kings stand silent, and all peoples pray. Come to save us. Don't delay already, is what the translation is. This sign, this root from the stump of Jesse, just think about it. You chop down a tree. The last thing you anticipate is that a forest is eventually going to come, especially when it's been chopped for a millennium. And yet, that root comes, and all the birds of the air are one day going to be able to take rest in its branches. And before this, first, not just simple people, but the kings stand silent. The kings, like we see on the Feast of the Epiphany. We also see this type of silence so often. The wonder of King Herod before Jesus on Good Friday. Can't figure him out. But before whom all nations pray, pray with a certain silence, like we see in the Syrophoenician woman or the centurion, not to mention all of the Jews. Before that root of Jesse's stem, we are supposed to approach as God wanted Zechariah initially to approach. Today what's going to happen here at Mass is something greater than happened in the Temple of Jerusalem. We come here. The church has been praying for us. The church triumphant is praying for us right now. We're not probably going to have an archangel come in vivid appearance, but all the angels will be present as they silently adore what's going to happen in my hands and then enter into each of us. May we receive this with wonder, so that the fruitful one might take our sterility, any parts in us that we think are barren, and convert them as part of that great forest.